Today we have a real treat. I'll be talking to Bob Bly, one of the great copywriters in America. In fact, McGraw-Hill calls him America's top copywriter. And in this interview, I'm going to focus on Bob's great new work, The Digital Marketing Handbook, which is a must-read for anyone who has any interest at all in digital marketing. Bob, great to be with you.
Thanks, Robert. It's a pleasure.
Okay, let's jump right in. The first thing I'd like to ask you is, knowing that there's a glut of digital marketing books on the market, including many that you yourself have written, by the way, why did you think it was important to write this particular book? Or put another way, how is this book unique from others?
Well, the two motivating factors were, number one, even if you've written them, unfortunately in this field, things change and expire quickly. So you have to write these more often than we used to in the old days, write books on how to write a print advertisement. So, you know, they need to be, you need new books almost all the time. Secondly, I had written books on aspects of digital marketing. I wrote a book on email, but people were saying, well, don't you have one book where you cover the whole thing and teach the whole system? And I didn't. So I approached my publisher. They liked the idea. And here we are. I did it.
Number 95, right?
This book is number 95. Yes, that's correct.
Great. Great. Bob, you know, I've known many people who talk incessantly about starting an online business, but they never seem to get around to it. I think it's a big problem. And from your perspective, what do you think is the number one reason why so many people who say they want to start an online business never take the plunge?
I think there are actually multiple reasons, but the basic one is that the same thing that we used to have in the 20th century, where we would sell books on how to start a mail order business or how to start, you know, your own small company, and most of the people who bought those never did anything. And we realized that a lot of people are armchair entrepreneurs. They like reading about it. It's interesting. They like talking about it. But either they don't have the motivation or the confidence to go forward and actually do something. That's one major reason why people don't do and don't succeed at this. And there are several others, but that's, I think, one of the major ones.
Yeah, sounds like the story of life, doesn't it?
It really is the story of life. And I don't know if you remember back, I think it was in the 70s or the 80s. Do you remember David Lyons from Lyons' book?
Faintly, yes, yes.
Yeah. So he was interviewed in Rolling Stone, and someone said, do people get successful reading your books? He'd say, well, they would if they did what's in the books, but 95% of our buyers, they just want to sit in an armchair and read the book. That's all.
Right. There's a technical term for it that I've written about before called homeostasis. It's the willingness to live with things the way they are and try to avoid change, and I think it's a natural human condition. Okay, let's get down to some specifics. Can you give our listeners some examples of one or two products that an entrepreneur might have success with on the Internet?
Well, there are three basic categories, and then we could go into specifics in each. But the three basic categories are information. That's a big area, especially for small operators like me. You put together information products on a particular topic, and you sell them. The nice thing about information products is they are inexpensive to produce, and also they are not one of 50. You know, if you write a book on winning through intimidation, or I write a book on public relations, it's ours. No one can sell that exact book, so you have a unique product. The second product is merchandise, and I only have one site that sells merchandise. And merchandise, some people are very successful at it. It's usually better for a bigger operator, though I know some small ones that got started in it and made a lot of money. But the problem with merchandise, there are many. First, you have to find merchandise low enough at a wholesale rate where you can get a markup that will make it profitable for you to sell at a retail rate on your e-commerce site. The other one is a lot of the wholesalers require very large minimum orders, which for the small-time operator makes it difficult. And with merchandise, things break, things don't work, and you're vulnerable to more returns. So, you know, your garage could fill up with a lot of boxes. So, and by the way, one of the good venues for selling merchandise is actually to do it through Amazon. And the third,
right.
Yeah, and the third category, which some people do, is service businesses. I don't mean like plumber, although if you're a plumber, you certainly can advertise your services on your local internet and you can get business. But I mean people who do coaching, who do strategic planning, who do seminars, boot camps. You can advertise services, and people will buy services online. So those are the three basic categories.
Yeah, I think the merchandise is the one that sounds like too much work for somebody like me, for sure. I was in that business years ago, and I think you really got to understand ahead of time what you're getting in for sure.
It has a lot of, as you said, it has a lot of problems in it. It can make a lot of money, but especially if you're a lone ranger, a lone operator, it's a big headache.
Right, a lot of work. You've often said that information marketing is your favorite online product, of course. And can you explain to our listeners why you feel that way?
There's several reasons. First is one that's just personal to me. Like you, I'm a writer, so it's a natural fit. Most information products require you to write something. Even the audio and the visual, the video products, they're not done off the cuff usually. They're written either from notes or word for word. So you have to be a writer, and that discourages a lot of people because they either don't like writing or they can't write, they don't want to do it. But that gives an advantage to people who are word people like us to get into that area. Second, I like, you know, it's always good to sell something you like. I like information. I'm a huge consumer of all the information products that I just mentioned. I go to seminars, I go to workshops, I go to webinars, I read a ton of books, I read nonstop magazines and newsletters. So I like the product, and if you're enthusiastic about the product, you're probably going to do a better job. And the third is, it's unlike some other areas, it's very easy to specialize in a niche. So, for example, there's one guy out there who sells, and I think you know him, who sells instructional booklets on using nunchucks, which is that martial arts weapon, and other ones like throwing stars. There's not a lot of people who are qualified to teach that or can teach it, so he is in a little niche, and you can make very good money in a narrow niche. In fact, it's easier to make money in a narrow niche because, for example, if your niche is motivational speaker and you try to buy that keyword on Google for a paid per click advertising campaign, it's going to cost a fortune because a bazillion people want that term. But if you do something, how to defend yourself with nunchucks, there's not a lot of people buying nunchucks as a keyword. So the keywords are affordable and cheaper. And that's just one reason.
Yeah, I've always been big on the niche thing, and I've made money a number of times over the years doing just that. And in your book, you talk about having a business model for your website. Can you explain exactly what you mean by that?
Yes, it is so easy today to put up a website, but what people do is they put up a website and it looks nice and it's hosted and it has some decent copy on it and some pictures, and then you look at it and you say, well, how does this make money? I hate to use business jargon, but you say, how is it monetized? And they've given no thought to how they're going to turn this into a machine that generates money on the internet, even while they're on vacation, even while they're asleep. So there are a number of different models. One of them, I don't know if they're still in business, or I knew the guy who started it, and he may have sold it, had the model we call the analysis model, and the site was eDiets. So what you did is you went on this site, and it asked you to put in some information. How tall are you? How old are you? How much do you weigh? Can you run a mile? What do you eat? And then based on that, it would offer you for a nominal price a customized diet plan. And once you bought that, it would continue with other offers. If the diet plan said you should be eating whey, they would then send you a mailing trying to sell you a container of whey protein, which is an expensive product. So that's what we call the needs assessment or the analysis site, and it's a very, very effective model. Another one that is popular, and I lay them all out in the book, but is what we call the special interest or the hobbyist site. You put and Nick Osborne from, I think, whom you know from AWAI is very good at this. You put up a site about something that interests you and or interests other people. Like he has a site that tells you everything about coffee. I wouldn't put that up because I'm not fascinated. I like coffee. I drink it all the time, but I'm not fascinated by it. But he got fascinated by the culture and how it was raised and the business. So he put up a coffee site, and what he does, so people go there who are into coffee. I don't know what the word is, coffee files, and coffee addicts. There are a lot of them. Look at all the Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks in the country. And they go there, and they read all this stuff, and, you know, how to brew it, and which brands are best, and you know, the specialized beans. But there on the site also, he has links to affiliates where you can buy their one-cup coffee maker, their two-cup coffee maker, you know, their 10-cup coffee maker, their special filter, their special blends, and that's how he makes money on it.
Sounds like a good business model. You know, in your book, you talk about the fundamentals of making money online, and you boil it down really to just two items. So why don't you share those two critical fundamentals with our listeners?
Well, the formula with P equals profits online is P profits equals sales, revenues, minus expenses. And the part of it sounds so simple-minded, but the part of this formula that people, amateurs, not people who have been doing it for a while, completely ignore is the expenses. You know, they put up a site and they say, and they make some sales and they get so excited, they don't realize their profit margin on the product they're selling is so thin. You know, they're making, by the time they run the site and the overhead, it's almost nothing. And then, you know, they have, they own infusion software for whatever it is, $1,000 a month. They have they hire a webmaster who's getting $300 a month. And easily, they're spending much more money than they're taking in. So always in every business, you know, you've known this for decades, it's a simple formula. P equals S minus E, and S has to be much greater than E where it doesn't work.
Yeah, for sure. You give me chest pains just talking about many, many experiences along those lines.
Me too.
It kind of gets down to being that simple, doesn't it? I remember years ago, I knew a very, very wealthy guy, super rich guy, and one time we were having a talk, and he says that all there is to making money is you charge as much as you can for your products, to keep your expenses as low as possible, and what's left is your profit. And if that doesn't work, then you're doing something wrong. And sometimes we probably make things too complicated because it really does get down to that.
That's what
now,
it is.
Yep. There are dozens of ways to drive traffic online. We all know it, whether it's Instagram or blogging, email articles, Google ads, and so forth. And I think a lot of people feel overwhelmed and wonder how they can possibly learn from all of these. What do you tell people who feel this way, Bob?
Well, I heard it put very well, and I don't know if you know him, but I have, one of my acquaintances is Terry Dean, who started teaching internet marketing early. He got into it early. And he just wrote an issue of his newsletter. He said, yes, there's a bazillion ways to drive traffic. Pick one and perfect it. You cannot use all of them. You won't be able to. You know, if you're using all of them, then when you're doing Google pay-per-click, you have no money to bid on the keywords because you're spending all your money on other things. So his advice is to just pick one. I say pick one or two and make those work. And you test them. And if they're working, let's say the first one is Google pay-per-click ads, you do more of it. If the second one is Facebook advertising and boosted posts, and no matter what you do, it's not working, stop it. And that's the formula.
Again, pretty simple when you say it that way. What's the most valuable asset that you, as an online marketer, Bob, own in your business, and how can someone duplicate it if they want to?
I think, for me, for the model I use, and I use a model similar to Agora Publishing, The Motley Fool, for that model, which is actually known as the Agora model, the central way you make money is you send emails to your own list of opt-in email addresses and they buy stuff. So therefore, the most valuable asset you can have is your own list that you do own it of people who have expressed interest in your niche or your topic and have given you their name and their email and their permission and it said, Robert, because we're both Robert, you can email to me anytime you want. That is the most valuable asset. Now, sometimes there's some people who make, either with expensive products or very targeted products, good money with very small lists. There was someone speaking at AWAI. I forgot his name. I was very impressed with him. He said he was making a fortune with a list of 3,500, and I forget what he was selling them. But generally, a mid-sized list is in the five figures, 10, 20,000, 50,000, 60, 70,000. And you can make very good money doing that. And my list, I don't keep any secrets, my list is right now 66,000 names. And that's medium size, and you can have a very happy small business with that. The Motley Fool, I believe, which is a big business, last time I heard they had 1.5 million names on their list. And, of course,
wow,
they're proportionally more profitable. But you don't have to do that. I always tell people, get started building your list. You know, get 100 names. Then go for 1,000 names and keep going from there. And you'll, even at 1,000 names, you'll start to make money. And you mentioned why people don't pursue this. Sometimes it's because they try it and they see no result. But if you can do a promotion, the first time you make money online through your shopping cart, even if it's not much, you will totally become motivated, jazzed, as they say, and you will forge ahead at warp speed, where before you were just doing it at snail speed.
Yeah, it's really quite exciting when you get that first dollar to come in. And that's just to prove that somebody actually wants something that you have. And I talking about this, I remember one time Mark Ford telling me that the list was something like 90 or 95% of the battle. It was more important than ad copy, more important than design, And I think a lot of people don't realize that or don't think about it, but that is the key. You have to put a lot of time into the list, which obviously means the quality of your list, not just the numbers.
Yeah, you want ideally people on the list who, you know, you get people who just go on the list because they're interested in your stuff and they want to get your e-newsletter, which has useful, interesting content to them, which you're not charging them for. But what you want to do as quickly as possible is convert those people, start offering them stuff, and get them to even make a small purchase. And the rule of thumb is 90% of the people who will end up buying from you will do so within the first 90 days of joining your list. So time is of the essence.
Great. And you know, here's a big one that I'm very familiar with. You and I send multiple emails to our list each week, and I think a lot of people wonder, it's certainly true in my case, I hear it from people a lot of times, that we send too often. How do you determine the right number of emails to send to your list?
Well, two ways. First of all, there's a consultant in lists, I don't know if you know her, Amy Africa, and I was at a seminar she was giving, and she said the number one fault or flaw most internet marketers make is they don't mail to their list enough. So if you think you're mailing too much, you're probably wrong. But here's the way you do it, or here's how I did it. When I started out, I emailed to my list once a week, and I measured, which your software can do, the opt-out rate. The opt-out rate is if you send out 1,000 emails to a list of 1,000, and one of those people who got your email says to you, you know what, I really don't want to get this anymore, and they leave, that's an opt-out rate of 0.1%. Your opt-out rate ideally should always be 0.1% or fewer. Otherwise, your list will vanish through attrition. And you can, again, your software, whether you're using Infusionsoft, One Shopping Cart, you can measure the opt-out rate. So you know what your opt-out rate is. Now, you've been doing it once a week. Add a second email. If you've been doing it every Monday, add a second one on Thursday. You will usually find that the opt-out rate stays basically the same. And that tells you these people would be happy to hear from you twice a week. However, if it spiked and went from 0.1 to 0.9 or 1%, they're telling you it's too much. And what they're really telling you is not that necessarily that it's too much, but it's not worthwhile material.
Great stuff.
Yeah, so you watch the opt-out rate. Now, I don't know how many times. You do a lot. I don't count yours, but I get yours. I do 4 a week, and I find no objection to that.
Yeah, that's about, normally that's about what we do. Actually, in a normal week, it's usually 3. Sometimes it's 4. It just depends. And, you know, we make sure we have articles in between so a person has a reason to come. Now, Bob, what's the second fundamental after traffic that you think you need to succeed online?
Well, there's actually a number. So if I picked a second one, it would be sort of arbitrary. But I would say that my number two would be quality and value. My friend Fred Gleick, whom you may know, you may have met him, I think, he says, and I think he told me this, he said he sets his fees for his products so that if he had charged 10 times what the actual fee was, customer would still think it's worth it. So you always, you know, that's the rule of 10. You want it to be worth much more than you're charging for it. It's funny, I once got, probably more than once, but I remember once I got an email, this guy was asking for a refund, and he said, Bob, the book is good. I was selling an e-book at that time for him. The book is good. It's certainly worth what you're charging for it, but it's not worth more than that. And Dick Benson also said the same thing in his book, Pre-Internet. He said, you want to be delivering much more value than the customer has any right to expect for the price he paid.
Yeah, the biggest thrill for me over the years, and I've gotten thousands of letters now, emails to this effect, is when people say, because of your book, I became a millionaire. Because of your book, I've been happy, successful, whatever. Your book is worth 1,000 times what I paid for it. And I agree. Then you feel like you've really offered value, and that's really what the bottom line is. Consumer just wants to know what you're going to give them, and when they shell out the money, whether it's $1, $10, or $1,000, they got to feel like it's worth much more. I couldn't agree more. All right, here's a big one. What do you think the secret is to maximizing conversions online?
Well, one of them, now it depends how you drive traffic, but the way to do it, of course, as you know, it's two-step. You drive traffic to a URL, and that URL is a dedicated sales page just to that product. And the most important thing, or one of the most important things to boosting conversion, and there are at least three or four or five, is that what I call copy continuity. If the headline of your email that you sent the person says, now make $300 a day as a chimney sweep, and then you go to a landing page and it says, buy my book, 101 small businesses you can start for less than $100, it's a complete disconnect. It should say what the email said. Now get rich or now make a comfortable living, no college degree, by being a chimney sweep, and then prove that there's still much in demand. So you have to have copy continuity. If you're using a email, the headline and the business proposition, the lead of the email, should be fairly similar to what's on the landing page, and the landing page just embellishes it and tells more. So, because the email has the easy job. The email has to get them to click on a page to find out more. Just as in the old days when you and I used to run classified ads in magazines and newspapers, we almost never sold the product from the ad. We just tried to get them to write us for more an information kit or sales letter on it. Now the sales letter is online. Now the landing page does the conversion job, and if it matches the email, will be higher. Now, of course, there are many things, and we can get into them if you like, that you can do on a landing page to increase that page's conversion rate.
And finally, Bob, one last but important question. Can an entrepreneur just outsource building an online business to a company that will just do it all for him?
I strongly believe that that is not possible, because there are people who specialize in niche services having to deal with the Internet. You could hire someone to do your YouTube videos and manage your YouTube video campaign. You can hire someone to do and manage pay-per-click. But to do the whole business, I get asked that a lot. No, because if the guy knows how to do the whole business, what does he need you for? He'll just start another website. So
exactly,
I don't believe it's possible.
Great. Well, this has been great, and this pretty much wraps it up. And to our listeners, if you found what you've heard in this interview to be helpful, I would strongly recommend that you pick up a copy of Bob's must-read work, The Digital Marketing Handbook. And on that note, Bob, I want to thank you for sharing your incredible storehouse of knowledge with us today, and I wish you continued success in all your direct marketing endeavors.
The same to you. As you know, I'm a big fan of yours, and I read every issue of everything you send out, and that's probably the last tip. When you meet a good Internet marketer, study their stuff. Don't just read it like a consumer. Study it. You know, that's sort of your university in your email inbox.
Great. Thanks again.
Thanks, Robert. Bye-bye.